Representative coming from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Yeah. This is their third year with us. Oh, by the way, I don't think I even told y'all. This whole thing started with Arlington Baptist College and Southern Bible Institute. 5 years ago, Arlington Baptist College and Southern Bible Institute, two historic schools making history. First time, both schools been around for, 80 now, 80-something years? Okay. Both schools been around for who knows how long, never fellowship with each other. And they came here 5 years ago, and Lord bless. And it's just been getting better and better, and Southwest joined us, and this year Criswell joined us, and DTS has joined. God is good, y'all. And next year, Lord willing to say the same, we're going to preach the word. We're going to let more people know that the word of God is being preached by the man of God who God is calling up. He ain't ran out of preachers, y'all. He ain't run out of preachers. He calling them up and training them up. Amen. At this time, Brother Nicholas, he told me don't try to roll the R because my Yankee tongue won't allow me to do that. Brother Villarreal, come on up, preach the word. God bless you. Bless you, brother. God is.
If you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Psalm 131. And as you turn there, one thing that I've noticed every single time I've turned on the news, there's just so much unrest, so many reasons to be in a state of discord. Somebody actually made a joke about it. You know, Steve Jobs has died. Johnny Cash has died. We've lost Bob Hope. God forbid Kevin Bacon ever passes. But really, when it comes down to it, all of this calls us, this unrest in the world calls us to turn to the Lord for an answer, calls us to turn to the Lord for our peace. And reading from Psalm 131, we hear a song of ascents of David. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, neither with things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. May God bless the reading of his word. This psalm is part of a series of psalms. Words to be spoken, words to be sung by the Jews as they went up to Jerusalem to go to the temple. Words to meditate upon, words to speak about and sing about together in communion with one another. And constantly keeping their eye on God's city as they did so. And these words written by David come to us as a simple way to relate to God and a simple way to be at peace. And the title of my sermon comes from the second verse, A Calmed and Quieted Soul. In the first verse, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. In going to Jerusalem, in going to the temple, in communion, in going to be in God's house, the first thing that David impresses upon us in this psalm is that our hearts and our eyes and our minds are neither do I concern myself with great matters, neither with things too profound for me. All of it is to be in an attitude of humility, an attitude where when we're going to God, we are not going because we deserve to speak to him. We deserve to be in his presence. We deserve to look God in the eye and speak with him directly. No. Rather, it is that our hearts must be humble. Our inner selves must recognize our lowly state. Our eyes must be willing to be lowered in the presence of God so that we could not even look him in the face, and nor do we desire to do so. And our minds, our very thoughts, do not attempt to know things that only God can know. We do not attempt to say that we know more than our Lord, or that we could ever presume to understand all that he comprehends. In going before God first, in order to have peace with him, we need to know that our place before him is one where we approach, and the moment that we could enter his presence, it is on bowed knees and lowered eyes and contrite hearts. Jesus' parable between the Pharisee and the tax collector is such a strong example of this. The Pharisee goes and he speaks of his righteousness, everything he's done right, everything that has lifted him up and made him right, right down to tithing off of everything and fasting twice a week. Meanwhile, the tax collector recognizes his lowly state and says, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And the tax collector is the one who went home righteous, justified before God. It is the same call here. We cannot stand before God on our own righteousness, and we cannot stand before him on our own merits. And that is what David wants the community of Israel to understand when they are going to Jerusalem. Additionally, at the time, Jerusalem and Israel as a whole was a place surrounded by conflict, surrounded by troubles. And in fact, their minds might have been on all of the problems that were occurring in their days. And these words are preserved in the Psalms by those who came back from exile. They knew trouble. They knew terror. They knew how to be in a state of unrest. And yet, David says, "Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul." Such words. How many times have you said that you are able to calm yourself down? How many times have you seen somebody else going into hysterics and they're able to stop in that moment without any intervention and just suddenly say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, okay, sorry, that was a bit up top. That was a bit much, I'm good." Without somebody else saying something to them. How many times is it just easy, like snapping your fingers, to go from being troubled to being at peace? It is almost impossible. And yet David says that this is something that he has done. And he explains how. "Like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me." The beauty of that image strikes me so much. That intimacy of a child with his mother. How many times have you just gone to be with one of your parents and just sought solace in their company over the years? Or known people who have that kind of relationship with their parents, and it puts them at such peace to be able to seek counsel from their parents, to just go and have intimacy. But the thing is, this image is not one of a mother who is feeding their child. This is someone whose physical needs are not met directly from the mother. This is of companionship. This is of an intimacy of simply being in the presence of a parent. The presence of a parent with a child. And that is how David has calmed and quieted his soul. He has grown in God and grown to trust him and grown to have fellowship and intimacy with God. This calm and quiet soul is because he has matured in the Lord, so that all of the unrest that was undoubtedly on his heart whenever this was written was instead brought to peace. All of the trouble was instead brought to a sense of calm and quiet. And he wants Israel to have that same hope. This song of ascents is said not just for him, not just between David and God, although this is that dialogue, but also to share it. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. When they were to hear this psalm, everything that this psalm was to remind them of, whether to humble themselves before God or to calm themselves because they were mature in the Lord, or they were working towards maturity because God had given them to that and God was working in them for maturity. All of this was so that they would hope in the Lord as they were walking up to the temple, as they were looking up to God's hill, as they were seeing the power of God in the temple, the most magnificent edifice in all of Jerusalem, even during David's time, possibly even just the tabernacle at this point, because this was David. So, after the exile, looking up at the temple, during David's reign, looking up at the tabernacle, both magnificent in their beauty, and in a place of prominence in Jerusalem. And this hill was to give them hope. So three things that this psalm meant to Israel: humility before God, intimacy with God, and trust in God. Now, what does this mean for those of us here today who are not Jews, who are not of Israel, who are not even in Jerusalem? There is still a hill that we look at for our hope. There is still a hill that we approach. There is still a hill that every time we come to God, we're looking to it. It is a hill where three crosses stand, and it is a hill where our Lord was crucified. We need to recognize in Christ's sacrifice, it is the proof that our righteousness is not enough. Never, ever, ever could we ever attain our salvation, which is why God, in the form of Christ, came down, gave up his life, took on all sin, and paid for it through the shedding of his blood. Was buried and was raised again to prove that he had the power to forgive those sins. And we could never meet that. We could never meet that need. And this Christ sends his Holy Spirit to us to put us at peace. This is a teacher for us to grow in maturity. The Holy Spirit is how we come to calm and quiet our soul and grow in intimacy with God, and have fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in us. This calm and quiet soul comes because we are mature, so that unlike the Jews to whom the author was of Hebrews was writing in the fifth chapter, in the 12th through 14th verses, saying that they should have solid food but instead need milk. Instead, we can grow and learn from the solid food of Scripture in the powerful strength of the Holy Spirit. And this hope in God that we have is the security that we have in the future which God has promised us. Whether in this lifetime or another, Christ's return from heaven to give his kingdom and to institute a permanent paradise where there is no sin and no pain, no want, no fear, no trouble, because we will be with God. When I was preparing this sermon and reading through it over and over, one thing kept coming to my mind. It's a very familiar tune. Every parent who has ever looked up lullabies has probably heard it. It's by the German composer from the 19th century, Brahms. Now, I find that most English translations don't do the words justice, so the German speaks of God's will, Christ's cross, and the paradise to come. And although I realize this tune is soothing, I'd like to share it with you. Eventide and good night, roses adorn your bedside, cloves hang over your bed. So lay down your sweet head. If God wills, in the morn you will wake once again. If God wills, in the morn you will wake once again. Eventide, so good night. May the angels delight to show visions while you dream of the blessed Christ child's tree. May you see in your eyes visions of paradise. May you see in your eyes visions of paradise. As God's children, we are called to humility, intimacy, and trust. Believer, I challenge you today, look upon your own life and find ways where you can bow before God. At work, at home, among friends, doing hobbies. Submit everything to God. Find ways where you can be intimate with God, whether in prayer, reading his scripture, or simply engaging in fellowship as we've done tonight. And finally, turn to God with everything, with all of your trust, whether it is in prayer, in tithing, or in spending your time where God has called you to be. And with that, I hope that this word has glorified God.
Thank you.